Imagine you're walking onto like a massive construction site.
Right.
And for decades, building anything on the site meant you had to place every single brick by hand. You had to mix the mortar, perfectly align all the scaffolding, and just painstakingly build the walls line by line.
Right. It was incredibly manual work.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't just have a vision for the building. You had to personally execute every microscopic detail of that vision down to like the very last nail.
Exactly. But if you walk onto that exact same site today in July 2026, something massive has quietly shifted.
Yeah, it really has.
You aren't laying bricks anymore. You're standing there with a clipboard describing what the building should look like, how the plumbing should connect, what the structural load limits are, and an entire crew of hyper-fast, slightly overly eager robotic workers starts instantly assembling the walls right while you watch.
Which sounds amazing, but the catch is, as anyone who has ever managed a real construction crew will tell you, if you don't know how to properly inspect those walls, the whole building is going to collapse the second a strong wind blows.
Yeah, and that tension right there is exactly what we were exploring today. So, welcome to this deep dive. We are immersing you in a fascinating dynamic that has completely rewired the technology industry.
It really has changed everything.
It has. And our grounding material for this journey is a comprehensive piece called Vibe Coding App Development, the Complete 2026 Guide. It's written by Dinesh Sripathi, who is an industry trainer operating right out of the tech epicenter of Hyderabad.
And I think it's a crucial piece of writing because, well, we're at a point now where this isn't experimental tech for a few niche enthusiasts anymore.
No, not at all.
It has become the baseline reality for how commercial software gets built today.
So our mission today is to cut through the heavy layer of buzzwords surrounding this whole topic. We want to help you understand what this shift actually is, how it's aggressively reshaping the economics of the tech world, and ultimately whether this is a career goldmine you need to jump on or just, another passing fad.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's unpack this because the term itself is quite the hurdle for me.
Oh, the name vibe coding.
Yeah. When I hear the phrase vibe coding, I immediately picture some Gen Z developer just kind of guessing. Like they're just going at the flow, throwing vague instructions at a screen, letting autocomplete run completely wild and crossing their fingers. What is actually happening here?
Yeah, the name is definitely misleading. What's fascinating here is that the reality is the exact opposite of guessing.
Really?
Yeah, it requires a tremendous amount of rigorous structure. Vibe coding is basically the practice of building working software by describing your architectural intent in plain English rather than typing out the specific syntax.
Okay, intent over syntax.
Right. You're working alongside an AI coding assistant, but this is not just, token level autocomplete trying to guess the next word you want to type. This operates at the macro level.
So it's not like finish this sentence for me. It's more like write this entire chapter based on this detailed outline I'm giving you.
Precisely. Let's look at how that actually works in practice. So in the old days, if you wanted to build, say, a secure user signup flow, you would spend hours typing out boilerplate code to connect to a database, hashing passwords, setting up session cookies, all of that.
Oh, yeah, just tedious stuff.
Very tedious.
Yeah.
Today, you just tell the AI, build a secure user signup form, store the credentials in a Postgres database, and return a JWT authentication token.
Wow.
And the AI instantly generates the hundreds of lines of code required to do that.
Okay, let me stop you there, though, because for the non-engineers listening, a JWT authentication token sounds like exactly the kind of technical jargon this whole system is supposed to replace. Why do I still need to know terms like that?
That's a great point. Think of a JWT like a digital VIP wristband at a concert.
Okay.
You're basically telling the AI, build a system that checks the user's ID at the front door. And if they pass, give them an encrypted wristband so they don't have to show their ID at every single room inside the app.
Oh, I see.
The AI handles the incredibly complex cryptography to actually create that wristband. But you, the human, had to know that a wristband system was the most secure, scalable architecture to ask for in the first place.
Ah, so you still have to design the blueprint. You just aren't physically pouring the concrete.
Exactly. Sripathi uses a brilliant analogy for this in his guide. He says you have to stop thinking of the AI as a magical senior engineer who knows everything.
Boy.
You have to treat the AI as a fast, literal junior developer.
A junior developer.
Yes, this junior has read every single piece of technical documentation ever published in human history.
Okay, so book smart.
Extremely book smart.
Right.
But, and this is crucial, it has absolutely zero idea what your specific business actually needs. It doesn't know your users, it doesn't know your edge cases, and it has zero common sense.
Right. So a super fast junior who will eagerly build exactly what you ask for, even if what you ask for makes no logical sense for your company's actual product.
Yes. Which means if your prompt, your specification is vague, the output will just be generic, useless code. But if you are specific, I mean, prototyping speed has collapsed from weeks down to just 2 days.
2 days? That's insane.
It is. And the 2025 Stack Overflow survey shows 84% of developers now use these tools.
Hmm.
But they are using them to generate code based on highly specific architectural commands.
Okay, but wait. If this fast, literal junior is doing all the heavy lifting of writing the boilerplate, what is the human developer spending their 8 hours a day doing? Like, we aren't just sipping coffee while the AI works, right?
Right, definitely not sipping coffee. The workflow is fundamentally shifted from generation to verification.
Verification.
Yeah, developers are spending their time reading code, reviewing architecture, and crucially, debugging.
Debugging.
And this introduces what I consider the most interesting paradox of the whole vibe coding movement. The guide points out a very telling statistic. It says 66% of developers say that the AI's output is almost right, but not quite.
Oh, that sounds incredibly frustrating. I mean, almost right is usually way harder to fix than something that is just completely broken.
It is. In fact, 45% of developers report that debugging AI-generated code actually takes longer than they expected it to.
Wait, hold on. If almost half of developers are saying it takes them longer to debug the AI's mistakes, how is this a productivity win? Aren't we just trading the time we used to spend typing for time spent hunting down subtle, maddening AI hallucinations?
Yeah, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but this is exactly why Sripathi calls debugging the single most underestimated part of the job.
Okay.
The productivity win comes from the sheer volume of structural code the AI can scaffold instantly.
Yeah.
But you're right, the bugs it writes are insidious.
Give me an example. What does an insidious AI bug look like?
Let's look at a classic mechanism. The AI might write a SQL database query to fetch a list of user profiles.
Mm.
When you test it on your laptop with, say, 10 users, it runs in milliseconds. It looks beautiful.
But I'm guessing that changes in the real world.
Drastically. A human senior engineer might look at that code and realize the AI accidentally created an N plus one query problem.
An N plus one query problem.
Yeah, it means the code fetches the list of users and then pings the database again for every single individual user's profile picture.
Oh, I see.
So for 10 users, that's 11 database pings. No big deal. But in production, with 10,000 users, that's 10,001 simultaneous pings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it will instantly crash your company servers.
That is terrifying, because the code didn't look broken. It didn't give you an error message when you were just testing it on your laptop.
Exactly. The AI won't catch that because it lacks system-level intuition. And this highlights why deep programming fundamentals are more vital than ever before.
Because you have to spot the invisible traps.
Right. You still need profound knowledge of JavaScript, HTML, CSS, TypeScript, and database architecture. If you don't know what highly optimized, scalable code looks like, you cannot vibe code. You will just be shipping fragile software at unprecedented speeds.
Mm. So you really can't inspect the walls if you don't understand load-bearing beams.
Exactly.
But knowing that deep fundamentals are still strictly required, I have to ask, why deal with the headache of debugging AI syntax at all? Why not just use no-code platforms?
No-code.
Yeah, I mean, those have been marketed for years, and they let you build apps by just dragging and dropping visual blocks, completely bypassing the need to look at raw syntax.
Well, no-code tools are fantastic for simple internal workflows, sure, but they have severe mechanical limitations. They operate with platform ceilings.
Platform ceilings?
Yeah, you can only build what the platform's visual builder has specifically been programmed to allow you to build.
Oh, here's where it gets really interesting. If we go back to our construction metaphor for a second, no code is like buying a prefabricated modular home.
Yes.
You can snap the pre-made rooms together super quickly, but you can only use the parts the factory shipped you. Like, you can't suddenly decide you want a circular living room because they just don't manufacture curved walls.
That captures the limitation perfectly. Furthermore, as your app scales, you get hit with rising per-user subscription costs from the no-code platform.
Meh.
And extreme vendor lock-in.
Right, because you're tied to them.
Exactly. You don't actually own the underlying engine of your application. You are just renting space in their ecosystem.
Whereas vibe coding is handing a highly detailed blueprint to an AI construction crew who can pour custom concrete to fit any bizarre, unique shape your business requires.
And crucially, at the end of the day, you hold the deed to the house.
You own it.
Vibe coding produces real, raw source code. You own it, you deploy it on your own cloud infrastructure.
Yeah.
And because it's standard code, if you hit a complex edge case that the AI just can't figure out, you can just open the file and write the custom logic yourself by hand.
So you are never blocked by a platform ceiling.
Never. This is why vibe coding is being adopted to build scalable, production-grade enterprise applications, whereas no-code platforms tend to break down when enterprise requirements get too complicated.
Okay, so if this is the new standard for building highly scalable enterprise apps, we need to talk about the economics.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, who is actually buying this custom concrete, and what is the market paying for the people who know how to direct the pour? Because the numbers in Sripathi's guide are just eye-opening.
They are staggering. To set the macro stage here, the Indian AI software and services market is projected to hit nearly $17 billion by 2027.
$17 billion.
Yes. We are seeing 11.7% of all Indian job postings now explicitly requiring AI skills. And this isn't localized to just, you know, scrappy tech startups. The demand is surging across SaaS, healthcare, finance, and especially giant IT services firms.
Why IT services specifically?
Well, those traditional IT firms operate on fixed bid projects, meaning they get paid a set amount regardless of how long the project actually takes. So they are under immense pressure to use AI to cut delivery times and preserve their profit margins.
That makes total sense. And the salary breakdown in the guide is incredibly specific. Freshers are looking at, what, 5 to 8 lakhs per annum? Mid-level developers are pulling 10 to 15 LPA. Seniors are in the 18 to 30 LPA bracket. And leads or architects, they are commanding 30 to 50 LPA.
That's a huge jump.
And there's a massive gap depending on the employer too, right? Like, product companies are paying 60 to 150% more than traditional IT services.
They are. And we really have to examine where this capital is concentrating.
Uh-huh.
Hyderabad has emerged as the absolute epicenter of this boom.
Wait.
It's currently outpacing Bengaluru in new setups.
Really? Outpacing Bengaluru?
Yeah. The city now has over 400 global capability centers, or GCCs, housing more than 300,000 professionals.
Okay, so why Hyderabad and why GCC specifically? Like, what's driving that exact combination?
Well, Hyderabad made massive infrastructural investments specifically targeting these GCCs. And a GCC isn't just an outsourced IT help desk where you send low-level bugs.
Right.
It is an in-house strategic innovation hub for massive global brands. When a Fortune 500 company decides they want to bring their AI development internal rather than farming it out to an agency, they set up a GCC in Hyderabad. And because it's strategic, they pay a premium. Median salaries are 25 to 30% above traditional IT services. They need architects who can leverage vibe coding to deliver core products, not just warm bodies typing code.
But the guide made a specific point about how big tech is hiring. Like Microsoft, Google, Meta, they have huge footprints there. Are they dropping their engineering standards to hire people who are just really good at chatting with AI?
Not at all. That's a huge misconception.
Yeah.
They are looking for elite engineers who possess those deep core fundamentals we talked about earlier.
The ones who understand the N+1 query problem.
Exactly. They want people who understand that, but who can use AI to multiply their output.
This brings up a real anxiety I think a lot of people have. If I'm a mid-level developer listening to this, and I see that with vibe coding, two developers can now comfortably do the work that used to require six people.
Yeah.
Should I be absolutely terrified that my job is about to vanish?
I get that fear. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the macro trend tells a totally different story. Right now, the projected demand for AI-related roles is crossing 1 million, but the talent pool in India is severely lagging behind that number.
So there's a huge shortage.
A massive gap between demand and supply.
Hmm?
This is an automation wave. And like every automation wave in history, it relentlessly devalues the routine implementers, the people who only know how to execute basic instructions.
Right.
And it richly rewards the directors, the people who can architect systems and manage the automation.
Okay, so I'm looking at the roadmap in this guide, and if I want to be a director instead of an implementer, the advice seems almost backward.
How so?
Well, if the AI is writing all the JavaScript, shouldn't I be spending the next 18 months studying prompt engineering instead of syntax?
Ah, I see. Prompt engineering as a standalone skill is honestly a mirage.
A mirage.
Yeah. Sripathi outlines a very pragmatic, tool-agnostic approach that proves this. First, you have to understand the tooling landscape, which is divided into three distinct mechanisms.
Okay, let's go through them.
First, you have conversational assistants. Think ChatGPT, Claude, and Gemini. These are your sounding boards. They operate in an isolated chat window, making them best for reasoning through a complex architectural decision or pasting in a tricky error message to get an explanation.
So they are walled off from your actual project code.
Yes, exactly. The second category changes that completely. These are IDE-integrated tools like Cursor, GitHub Copilot, and Windsurf.
Okay.
These live directly inside your code editor. They index your entire code base. You don't have to paste things in. They already know how your database connects to your user interface, which allows them to suggest changes across multiple files simultaneously.
That sounds incredibly powerful. And the third category?
App generation platforms. Things like Bolt.new, V0, and Lovable. These are designed to take you from a text prompt to a visually deployed interactive prototype in minutes. You don't even open a code editor initially. It just happens right in the browser.
Wow. But I assume the pros aren't just picking one of those categories and ignoring the rest.
No. The most effective developers combine all three, leaning on each for its specific mechanical strengths. But, and this is the key, none of these tools work if you don't understand the underlying tech stack.
Right. Back to the fundamentals.
Yes. The roadmap he provides is a rigorous four-step progression. For beginners, the first 1 to 2 months are heavily focused on pure JavaScript, HTML, CSS, and basic Git version control.
Which goes back to your point earlier, you have to know how to read the code and how to version it before you can effectively tell the AI to write it.
Exactly. Then moving to intermediate, which is months 3 to 5, you learn frameworks like React and TypeScript, backend languages like Node.js or Python, and databases like SQL.
Okay, that's a lot of traditional coding.
It is. Advanced learners in months 6 to 9 focus on deployment, Docker containers, security, and performance profiling. And finally, the expert stage, which is months 10 to 18, introduces agentic workflows.
Okay, agentic workflows. We hear that phrase constantly right now. What does it actually mean in practice?
So an agentic workflow is where the AI transitions from just answering your questions to taking independent actions.
Independent actions. Like what?
You give it a high-level goal, like say, migrate this database from version 3 to version 4. The AI agent autonomously breaks that down into a 10-step plan, writes the migration scripts, runs the tests, reads the error logs when a test inevitably fails, rewrites its own code to fix the error, and only flags you for final approval.
That's wild. It's literally acting as an autonomous agent.
Yes, but you can't manage an agent doing database migrations if you skip learning SQL in month 3.
Right. So what does this all mean for actually getting hired? Do I need to spend the next 6 months collecting a dozen different AI certificates from Google and Microsoft just to get past the HR screening bots?
This is one of the most valuable and honestly harsh truths in the entire guide. Recruiters spend maybe 3 seconds glancing at your list of certificates.
3 seconds.
If that. But they spend minutes deeply reviewing your GitHub repository. The golden rule for getting hired is having 3 deployed, publicly available applications with clean, well-written, re-enter key files explaining your architectural decisions.
But why are certificates viewed so negatively? Don't HR bots just scan for those keywords anyway?
The problem is the technology is evolving rapidly. A certificate proves you passed a static multiple-choice test on a version of an AI model that is likely already obsolete by the time you apply.
Oh, that makes sense.
But a deployed application on GitHub, that proves you can wrangle an unpredictable AI, debug its subtle hallucinations, handle the messy reality of cloud hosting, and successfully maintain a live product that a real user can interact with.
It's actual proof of work.
Recruiters know that the latter is infinitely harder and vastly more predictive of your actual on-the-job value. And to be crystal clear, an undeployed project sitting locally on your laptop simply does not count in an interview. Show, don't tell.
Wow. So to recap this journey for everyone listening, vibe coding might honestly be a terrible, confusing name for what is actually a brilliant, paradigm-shifting workflow.
Yeah, the name doesn't do it justice.
It is absolutely not about guessing. It is rigorous, intent-based programming. You aren't typing the boilerplate. You are directing the architecture. Your ability to read, review, and spot subtle AI hallucinations is the new premium skill.
Spot on.
And if you can master that transition from implementer to director, the financial rewards, especially in booming GCC hubs like Hyderabad, are just massive.
It really represents a fundamental shift in the developer's daily reality. Over the next few years, AI fluency is going to become exactly like version control like Git was a decade ago.
How do you mean?
Well, 10 years ago, knowing Git might have been a special skill you put on your resume. Today, it won't be celebrated. It will simply be assumed that you know how to do it. Vibe coding is becoming the assumed baseline of software engineering.
Assumed, not celebrated. I love that framing. But as we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with a lingering thought. A bit of a paradox that wasn't directly answered in our sources today, but feels incredibly important to the future of this industry.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Think back to that construction site we talked about at the very beginning. If the AI is now acting as our fast, literal junior developer, rapidly writing all the boring boilerplate, and the human's job is now strictly high-level architecture and critical review,
right?
How in the world do we train the next generation of senior developers? Because if human juniors no longer have to spend years writing that tedious, boring boilerplate to learn the ropes and make those necessary small mistakes, how will they ever gain the deep, hard-won intuition required to spot those subtle AI bugs when it's their turn to be the senior architect holding the clipboard?
That is the million-dollar question.
How do you learn to inspect the walls if you've never been forced to lay the bricks? Something to mull over.